Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of LynnGrafica Radio. This is part two of a four-part series in support of Aphasia Awareness Month. It is, in fact, Aphasia Awareness Month, as it is every June, and we're very lucky today to have our show being hosted by Dr. Richard Steele, LynnGrafica's chief scientist. Once again, Dr. Audrey Holland is back, and I want to tell you a little bit about something near and dear to Dr. Holland's heart, and that is that she's well known for her life participation approach to aphasia, which places priority on the life concerns of those affected by aphasia and assists them in their efforts to return to active life. You'll learn the primary benefits to people with aphasia who join the programs that embrace the LPAA. Welcome, everyone. Dr. Steele, over to you.
Thank you very much, and I want to say what an honor and privilege it is again to be talking with you, Dr. Holland. Can you briefly tell us what the LPAA is, the Life Participation Approach to Aphasia, and how it's been adopted here in the United States?
LPAA, thanks, Richard. It's really nice to talk to you again, too. It's been a long time. Life Participation Approach to Aphasia basically is that. The goal of Life Participation Approaches to Aphasia is to help the person with aphasia and his family get back to living as fully as possible the life they were living before the onset of a stroke. This means that life participation is not something that can be done in a month in a rehab center, nor with significant amounts of speech therapy. Not that speech therapy doesn't help get people better, but that it is truly not enough. Most people with aphasia have a chronic disorder, and so life participation approaches means exactly that. We want to be there for people with aphasia as clinicians and as speech and language clinicians, but also other people who care about the long-term big picture of aphasia, that we be there for people across their lives, and that the services are not just geared to helping the person with aphasia, because most of us who care strongly about the life participation approach know full well that this is a problem that faces families and other loved ones and so forth and so on. So it's not just to help people who have the aphasia, but people who are affected by it in many ways, and in many cases, almost equally. So our goal is to work with people with aphasia to do as much of their lives before their stroke as they possibly can in the rest of, over the rest of their lifespan. Dr. Steele, has not been adopted by the United States. It's actually a set of principles and guidelines that were started in the United States but have worldwide implications. And across the English-speaking world, there are many places, Australia is a good example, of people who are probably ahead of us. Australia and Canada in many ways are ahead of us in their ability to reach long-term goals. But it's active and busy. Mm-hmm. Across the English-speaking world.
Thank you very much. That's very. You make some very important points there. That it's an expansive approach, and it's a full lifespan approach, and it addresses the environment in addition to the person with aphasia.
Absolutely.
Can you briefly describe the primary benefits to the people with aphasia who are involved in this approach?
Well, certainly, I think one of the things that happens to people who have aphasia and to their family members is that they become involved in a vicious cycle of less and less social contact, less and less opportunity to deal with other people. And that's one of the major things that life participation does. It encourages the benefits of having friends and having people to talk to who understand your problem. And so one of the things that's a real benefit of life participation approaches is that they're strongly behind the concept of groups of people with aphasia. And groups, either very intensive groups or very constrained groups, are really occurring all over. We're just going to talk about America. They're occurring all over the United States, and to be a part of this very exciting movement is really a great joy of the later years of my life. So the benefits are social contact, social connections, and I think increasing lifespan. I'm not sure of that, but in my little soul of souls, I think that people who go to aphasia groups have not only a bigger opportunity to be back to a wonderful life again, I think they also are having the opportunity to enjoy it for some amount of time longer. So it's a very exciting movement.
Mm-hmm.
I need to add just, Richard, if you don't mind, the notion that there's been a new group formed recently, Aphasia Access, which I know many of you have heard about. But Aphasia Access is a national movement to do everything we can, not only to support aphasia programs, but also to legislate for aphasia programs and to try to seek funding for people who have aphasia. And we just had a national conference that was a joy. I think Dr. Steele will agree.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the, I think, key points that you make is that this involves the entire sort of social network that's involved in and around people with aphasia. So that leads to another question. Do you see particular opportunities for technology, particular sorts of either devices or technology-based services and so on, to expand the benefits to, of this approach?
Well, first of all, I think that anything that helps the aphasic person communicate better is welcomed in the context of life participation approaches and centers and things that have that as the main focus. So people are encouraged to bring and to use their devices and their technology to aphasia groups, and most aphasia groups spend some amount of time helping people to use their, whatever technology they bring more effectively. So that's one thing. I would say the second thing, which is maybe even to me more exciting, and it's still a little bit on the horizon, is that telecommunication and teletherapy is also burgeoning, and that makes raises the potential for having aphasia centers that are located far from where there's any place that necessarily has a clinical group, or it has the kind of services that people with aphasia need. And it also makes it possible to have an aphasia group that has one member from South Carolina, another member from North Dakota, and another member from Iowa, wherever. I mean, it doesn't necessarily all have to be people who are close to each other geographically. So those three things actually, I think, really suggest a terrific potential, because I think we're beginning to understand that that is the way of the future.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking perhaps there might be opportunities to reach across national boundaries. And you mentioned Canada, you mentioned Australia. And yes. Expand the reach.
And it's interesting. There are Skype groups that do reach across continents and oceans, and that's just the beginning of the kind of things that can happen. So it's already underway.
Excellent. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that sort of your hopes for sort of next developments?
Well, I think in my best of all possible worlds, there are going to be more aphasia centers, more aphasia programs, more emphasis on life participation approaches, and they're going to become, this is maybe the farthest outline, they're going to finally benefit from some involvement with the healthcare system. So that's, to me, a very, very big one. And also the other is the potential, I think, for all of these great changes technologically.
That sounds very, very hopeful. I also feel that the launch of Aphasia Access, this group which both organizes people and works for advocacy on behalf of people with aphasia, holds a lot of promise as we move forward to address the wide range of issues that are involved.
And Dr. Steele knows from whence he speaks, because he gave the Scale Center gave a wonderful talk showing that they were doing teletherapy across at least three places, I think, with a lot of success. And, I mean, they're breaking the ice on that. So he knows whereof he speaks on this issue.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate. And so I think probably we can wrap up unless there's any other point that you feel you'd want to make right in closing.
No, I think that's good for me. What about you, Richard?
I think so, that we covered it well. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well,
thank
Dr.
you.
Holland, Dr. Steele, thank you very much. Thanks for hosting, Dr. Steele. If you're listening in, our audience, please visit facesofaphasia.com during Aphasia Awareness Month. Click in and share your story, and please share it with your social networks using hashtag facesofaphasia. And don't forget to join us next Friday at the same time as Dr. Audrey Holland returns to discuss the importance that caregivers play in helping people with aphasia. She'll be joined by Michelle Hart-Henry, Vice President of Innovation, Sales, and Marketing at Lingraphica. See you next Friday, everyone. Please visit again, facesofaphasia.com. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.